struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude. It's very easy for me to pick the one thing that's wrong rather than concentrate on the 10 things that were right." I think we can all relate to what Elizabeth is saying. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today on that amazing tiny little woman named Gladys Aylward, a Cockney parlor maid who made her way to China in a most incredible story. I'm using the book called The Small Woman, written by Alan Burgess. 3 days after leaving Vladivostok, they steamed into the small port of Tsuruga on the west coast of Japan. Farther to the south was Kobe, and from there, the captain explained, she would be able to catch a boat to China. He also informed her that she would have to wait on board while he got in touch with the British consul, or his representative. And she goes through various difficulties and troubles before they allowed her to come. But finally, she reaches Tientsin in China, and you Chinese who are listening to me, I'm sure you're laughing your heads off at my pronunciations, but it's the best I can do. I remember, I will never forget, in fact, when I heard Gladys Aylward speak in person in 1960 at Prairie Bible Institute in Alberta, Canada. And among the stories that she told in those riveting 2 hours was this one, that when she was a child, she had two great sorrows. One, that when all of her friends had beautiful golden curls, mine was black. When all my friends were still growing, I stopped. But she said, as I stood on the wharf that day in Tientsin, when I had just arrived in China, I looked around on all the people to whom Jehovah God had sent me. And I saw that every single one of them had black hair, and every single one of them had stopped growing when I did. And I said, Lord God, you know what you're doing. Well, Gladys went to work with a little lady named Jeannie Lawson, 74 years old, a very no-nonsense, matter-of-fact widow. To give you an idea of just how, shall we say, Spartan she was, when Gladys came back one day, she reported that she had just witnessed a man being decapitated in the town square. Jeannie Lawson's response was, of course, the man undoubtedly was a criminal and deserved to get the death penalty. And of course, Gladys was devastated and horrified that she would take such a casual view of such a horrible thing. Jeannie Lawson was 5 feet tall, in appearance rather frail, and it was a deceptive appearance. Her pure white hair was a phenomenon in China, and convinced every peasant in Yangcheng that she was not only a foreign devil, but also an evil spirit. This hair terrified them wherever she went, a fact which did not trouble Jeannie Lawson in the slightest. She had arrived in China as a young girl of 21, married another missionary, born her children, seen her firstborn die of the black fever, and watched the others grow up and go out into the world. She had outlived her husband by many years. She was Scottish. Her ancestors had fought for centuries against the invading British. And spiritually, she was determined to brandish the word of God in the face of all unbelievers. Not for her the tame Christianity of the plains with its Bible classes. Well, Gladys, in those first early weeks, found life a bit harder to bear than she had imagined. Jeannie's gaze was piercing, and she took things very, very casually. after this horrible scene of watching the man decapitated, Jeannie said to Gladys, "Did you expect things to be the same in China as in England?" "No, but listen to me, Gladys Aylward. You haven't come here to China to alter their laws. They'll throw the body down the mountainside where it will be eaten by wolves or carrion birds. There'll be no Christian burial. Understand that," she added, sparing her nothing. "And they'll stand the head up on the city wall so that everyone can see it." "It's so awful, so feudal," said Gladys. "Yes, it's feudal. Sometimes they won't have an execution for months. Then suddenly there's a batch, and the whole wall's lined with heads. You may as well get used to it. There are a lot of things in China you'll have to get used to. We'll try to change these things through the love and wisdom of Jesus Christ by making them understand truth and justice. But we won't do it by running home blubbering our eyes out." There was a long period of settling in. Jeannie Lawson explained her financial position. She had a private, small income. The rent for the house worked out in British currency at 2 shillings and 4 pence a year. They lived on millet, wheat, and vegetables, which cost only a few pennies. And so they were reasonably secure. But what was the use of security if they could not do the job for which they were both in China? They arrived at a brilliant idea one day as they were walking back up the slope to the West Gate. They passed through the narrow main street and skirted the Yamen, or town hall where the Mandarin lived, and all the official business of the city was carried out. And then follows a long story of how these two foreign women managed to secure the trust and even the admiration of the Mandarin, who, of course, was the top official. And so they decided to open an inn for these muleteers. And they opened one which was called the Inn of 8 Happinesses. Some of you may have seen a movie a long time ago called The Inn of the 6th Happiness, which was Hollywood's version of the Gladys Aylward story. Not very accurate. It was Gladys's job to go out into the streets and drag the muleteers in. And there were times when they had as many as 50 men plus animals. And, of course, Jeannie settled right down immediately when these people began to come and told them Bible stories. One day, Jeannie wanted Gladys to go for a walk with her. Gladys preferred to stay home and study. There was a tirade. Gladys went to visit another mission to let Jeannie cool down. And one of the Chinese people said to her, "Don't worry." She said, "She always cools down after she gets angry." But while Gladys was gone, Jeannie had a fall. Gladys was able to get back in time to care for her for a short time, but Jeannie died. Gladys then became the official foot inspector and then insisted that prisoners must have work to do. These were things that she persuaded the Mandarin to consider. Of course, young girls, baby girls, had their feet bound, so adult Chinese women, unless they were very poor or were prostitutes, had very deformed, tiny feet. And Gladys saw this as a very cruel system, and so began to persuade the Mandarin that this had to go. Then she also persuaded him that prisoners ought to have work to do so that they wouldn't despair. And so they introduced looms, miller's wheels, and they stopped riots which had been taken for granted. The convicts were even taken to hear the preaching of the gospel at the Inn of 8 Happinesses. And there were some laws passed which forbade the beating of wives. That was a whole new direction in China as well. And they were no longer allowed to sell or to kill their wives. Another drastic change. The child dealers who were buying children for $2 apiece were reprimanded. Gladys knew, of course, that you cannot immediately protest to a Mandarin, no matter how serious your complaint is. Courtesies came first. She bowed low before the imperious scarlet-robed figure, obeying the ancient ritual of the small official addressing the high and mighty. Mandarin, are you well? She asked. Yes, I am well. You are well? Yes, I am well. Have you eaten your food? Yes, I have eaten my food. Have you eaten your food? Thank you, yes. Mandarin, are your old relations well? Yes, my old ones are very well. This went on for about a minute, and then the courtesies over, she handed him the slip of paper containing her report. It was a very brief report, because in those early days, before she learned to write in Chinese, she had to get someone to write the Chinese characters for her. Her reports, in fact, were masterpieces of simplicity. This one read, Gladys Aylward has been to the Chao Tsung. Gladys Aylward has come back from Chao Tsung. The names of the district or village might alter with each trip, but her written reports did not. All the details of her work she gave him verbally. A smile creased the Mandarin's mouth as he took the paper. Seeing him thus in his bright scarlet robes with high collar, scarlet cap, and wide sweeping sleeves, she always took some seconds to get over her feeling of awe. You have things to tell me, he said. Gladys answered, what do you do with dealers in children? The dark, thin eyebrows lifted slightly. I do not understand you. A few yards away from this yamen, a woman tried to sell me a child for $2. What do you do about that? Gladys intuitively knew that her question worried him. He walked to the end of the chamber and back before replying. Then he said, you do not do anything. But I don't understand, said Gladys. It's wrong. If she is indeed a child dealer, she belongs to a gang of wicked and desperate people. If you interfere with them, they commit horrible crimes. It's better that you forget all about it. It has nothing to do with you. I'm going to continue the story tomorrow.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.